Tidbits Pod 43.
Attaboy, Clarence.
Woo! Got ourselves a whiff one here, baby. It is crazy. But anyway, festive tidings, chums. And yeah, all the best. Pont this marvelous, chilly, rainy, windy eve next to Sarnstead roundabout going down the hill. And yeah, December, so tis the season. And happily for the opening puns, there are quite a few songs that Tidbits will scan over. So there might be a Christmas special, who knows, but I think I'm just going to rinse those for the time being. And speaking of Christmassy stuff, we've got through the phase of people questioning when to put decorations up. That's always tedious, so that's behind us, and now we're heading into myrrh bashing season, which I always like. So gold, frankincense, myrrh. I mean, out of the three wise men, or, well, to paraphrase Bill Bailey, the three lads from the east that go around hustling pub quizzes, I'm going to put it out there that gold is actually the shit one. Thoughtless. Like, it's not about the price of the present, is it? It's about the thought. And well, just imagine like the three wise men there. There's the first guy, he's got like, right, okay, we're wise, and chances are that kid's gonna be born. It's gonna be born in a stable. Like, those hotels are busy. I've had a look on TripAdvisor or whatever, Hostel World, all of those metrics. And it looks like that he's gonna have to be born in a stable. So, what we're gonna do, here's my idea. Let's buy some stuff that'll smell nice. They'll appreciate that. Like, get the vibes of shit out of the air. There'll be donkeys and that. And, hold on one sec. Well, Lush is closed, but never mind. I know a guy that can hook us up with some myrrh. What are you thinking? And some frankincense as well. Like, so, you know, like, I'll give the myrrh, someone else can give the frankincense, that'd be nice. Obviously, like the second guy diving in, Balthazar, be sliced, be money, be meister, love it, mate. You're a fucking ledge. Shame about Lush, but this is, I mean, you've pulled it out of the bag, mate. I love that a lot. So, and again, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, in these sort of Bible times that we live in, as a gift for bestabled babies, you can't really go wrong with pleasant smelling resins. Like, that's all the rage. That is so year zero or whatever we're in this between Jesus times, not AD, not BC, it's current Jesus times, whatever we call it. Anyway, or just pre, actually, just pre-Jesus, so just BC. But yeah, then the third guy pipes in and it's like, yeah, I couldn't really think, so I just got them some gold, you know. I was gonna go with the same as last year, gonna go with the Virgin Megastores vouchers, but gold's more versatile, isn't it? And I just thought that was easy. Like, you fucking prick, Ezekiel. I've forgotten their names. Anyway, like, yeah. Be thoughtful with your gifts. Don't go route one. But saying that, if you are thinking of giving me some gold for Christmas, that's still very nice. So, things are definitely looking more Christmassy in town as well. I just had a little stroll down Croydon High Street, doing a full-on loop today. Back out again. Anyway, I was in town earlier, and they've made a nice little festive effort. They've They've got the big Christmas gifts, you know, made of lights. That's back and looking as good as last year. And there's a little ice rink as well. That's pretty cool. About the size of maybe the size of a disabled parking bay, but like it's got a nice little white picket fence around it, and you know, just to keep out the riffraff, make the area look nice. It's all nicely well maintained at the moment, so yeah, pretty classy. Nice little classy rink, but you know, £3 a go. I thought I am not going to pay that altogether now. What a cheapskate! Brilliant. Thank you, Tim Vine. Anyway, it was yeah, it was nice actually in town with the lights on the Whitgift Centre, or well, what they call in the guidebook as South London's biggest balloon trap, the Whitgift Centre. Like, every time you go in, guaranteed you're going to see a balloon stuck up in the roof, like in the glass, looking quite sad. But yeah, get down there, and if you can, if you do have very long arms, you can get yourself a lot of free balloons. But yeah, nice to see a nice turnout on the high street as well. Like, you had the little shoppers there doing their thing, and of course there was a lad sat down on a box, you know, doing breathy versions of popular tunes that you always get in pedestrianised shopping areas. But yeah, he just sat there with his guitar, like, I said, whoa, whoa, we're halfway there, oh baby, yeah, we're living on a prayer, oh yeah, to the bank. You know, that's sort of, everyone's standing around like, wrap it up, son. This is more of a kind of beatbox into a cone kind of crowd. And yeah, I mean, that reminds me actually, like, the most annoying breathy cover ever heard. I mean, I'll set the scene for you. So it's a long time ago, back in the youth, back in 2012, South Africa, Garden Route, and I think it's taking the Baz bus through all the beautiful little towns and stuff on the south coast, like, fucking beautiful. And I'm in a place called Knysna, and like, they're having this oyster festival, and everything's fucking perfect. And yeah, I met a couple of Scottish lads as well in Cape Town, and we'd explored all the capes in this legendary little silver Hyundai. Like, well, hello to Ewan and Rory, if they're listening. All the best, mates. See you back at Gem Joe's. I mean, who else is Bev? Briefly, we drank with a woman called, she was called Margarita, but I mean, we just started calling her Cheese and Tomato. She hated that. But anyway, like, I'll go more into the sort of Garden Route shenanigans on another day, possibly, because that was, well, that was brilliant. But all I'm trying to say, to set this scene, everything's perfect, ideal. Like, you know, you can't get better. And this one morning, I mean, we're in a hostel room, keeping it classy, and like, down there in the hostel rooms, they had lockers in the rooms so that you could keep your valuables in and whatnot. But top tip, if you are there, I mean, don't do that. Don't use those lockers, because, I mean, they're not fixed to the floor. So if anyone wants to make a nice sweet buck, they can just go in, take the whole locker, take it home, and then just, you know, it's like an advent calendar. They just go home Christmas Day, smash with the padlocks off. Lovely, guaranteed jackpot for them. But anyway, so we're in the hostel, and Yeah, there's some dickhead had locked a telephone in these, like they're in the lockers. So fair enough, like she's out doing her thing. And I mean, this is all good until this morning when her alarm started going off. And it's probably about, I don't know, like 5-6 in the morning. And I mean, that happens all the time in hostels, fair enough. You just got your earplugs or whatever. But this, I think it was just like the sort of the changing sound of it or whatever. But yeah, so on this special recorded ringtone, it wasn't just a normal alarm. She had a breathy acoustic version of I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. It's like they've just cut all the fun out of the song, and it's just some dude, you know, oh, now go work out the door, I'm having such fun with my guitar, you know, that sort of shit. And like it would start playing through for a bit, like, you know, quietly through, then it would go silent for a few seconds, and it comes back a bit louder, then silent again, and then, you know, it's coming back louder and louder, like, I should have changed that fucking lock, I should have thrown away that goddamn key. And I mean, each time it came back, it was just getting worse and worse and more annoying. And you know, sometimes in acoustic songs you can hear the like hear the fingers sliding up and down the strings, like, that's, I hate that shit. But anyway, so we all know it's this girl's telephone, but you know, look over at her bed, she's not there, and the lock is padlocked, and so we're all sort of stuck with it. But then you start thinking, you know, it's only an alarm, it's going to play itself out soon. Nope. This just kept going over and over, and it would get loud, like, hey, we'll survive, hell yeah baby, like all this shit. And then resets to quiet all the way to the start, and yeah, quiet, that's it, that's the last one. Seconds later, at first I was afraid, I was petrified. It's round and round and round. It was like you've heard that routine, the like John Mulaney, where he's where he plays What's New Pussycat in the Salt and Pepper Diner. I think it's like 100 times or something. It's just like everyone going mad. But anyway, it was going round and round, and I mean, I could have got up, gone about my day, but lazy. So sat there listening to this thing over and over. And it gets to about 8:30. She comes back, you know, pleased as punch after a nice little fuck sesh. And yeah, I think she wanted to give her mates the whole story, but instead we were just fucking fuming. Yeah, good times in South Africa. It's what else did I do today? Seems a bit weird going out again in the rain as well. Getting the last few steps in. Went to the gym earlier, and I wasn't running. I pumped some bloody iron, didn't I? Like, you know, it's not going to pump itself. Working out, not working in. So yeah, you think it's sort of weird how between sets in the gym, how much time you actually just spend just sat, kind of staring into space, maybe treating yourself to a bit of heavy breathing. You know, you've done the lifting or whatever, and then you just kind of sat there, or maybe you're in cool down mode on the treadmill and you're stationary or just taking it easy. But you've still got your hype playlist on, like full blast. Like in your head, Samba de Chame! Da 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 da. Anyone look at you, they think you're, you know, just contemplating life or something. But in your head, it's a mad rave. But yeah, I was sat there today, just, I just finished a little routine or whatever. I was admiring my shins in the mirror. And yeah, it was Rage Against the Machine. So I go, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. I was going, wow, yeah, they look a little bit like fleshy World Cups. They're coming along. fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. And yeah, and then you've got this mad music in your head, but you've just got to sort of deal with real life. Like, don't you try to fresh us the fire. Or whatever, it's going mad. And yeah, some dude just comes up and he's just like, does a little wave. Like, can I... You, like, sort of, you take the headphone off one ear so you can hear him. Like, can I have a go on there next when you're finished? Like, absolutely, no problem. Put your headphone back on. Motherfucker! It's like, yeah, such a juxtaposition. It's like sort of watching snooker with drum and bass on. Like, if they were wearing headphones just to keep themselves motivated, like listening to mad music. Hiya. And that's distracted. Okay, I could play that off as playing in the phone. But yeah, imagine Peter Ebdon, like, I don't know, right, okay, he's just lining up here for a tricky blue. Like in his head, like crazy music going, like, yes, to get back to the reds here, he's gonna have to go up and down with the white, in and out of bulk. Like, okay, no, classic Ebdon, he's playing it safe. Peter Ebdon, did you know that he's a singer? And this is a real treat if you haven't seen this. So go on YouTube, and I can't remember the name of it, of the song, but just type in Peter Ebdon singing, and it's just not what you'd expect. He sort of looks like a kind of a budget Michael Stipe, like that kind of vibe, but he's a bit moody. Like, he's got his guitar and that. He's actually all right. Like, if you didn't know it was Ebdon, but yeah, no, look that up. But yeah, what else am I gonna say? I mean, saying earlier about the decorations going up too early, chat. I mean, once again, I don't know how this always comes up, but we've got the Is Die Hard a Christmas Film chat, and I mean, you've had it 100 times, you've heard it 100 times. It's nothing. It's just like air filler. Like somebody goes, "Well, I think it is a bloody Christmas film. Cool, because it's, you know, it's set at Christmas and it's bloody snowing. So, you know, I'd say that's pretty bloody Christmassy. Oh, I disagree, because it's got Bruce Willis in it and it's not very Christmassy. So, you know, I'd put it to you that it's not actually a Christmas film." And it's like, who gives a shit? Watch what you like, watch whatever you like. And then, you know, whenever that chat starts, whenever you sort of hear it coming, I mean, all you got to do, I mean, maybe just think it in your head, but what I'm just tempted to do, you just got to just go, like, you know, yippee-ki-yay, boring fuckers, I'm scooching, I'm out of here. Or just kind of back out of it and switch off in your head. It's kind of like, what else is sort of filler? You know, like the pineapple on pizza debates. Like, it's just nothing. Like, no one actually cares. And it's just another thing in this pile of sort of safe debates. I mean, for boring people to have and just to kind of fill time. Like, if someone starts up that chat, I mean, they're basically either just saying to you, like, they're just going, okay, like, hello, I'm fucking boring. Or they're saying, like, they sort of know as well, they know it's Phyllis. They're like, right, okay. They're subconsciously, they're saying to you, right, we've got 2 minutes to fill. We both know this isn't going to be, you know, it's not going to be the best chat you've ever had. But it's going to be more strange if we don't talk, if we stand here in silence. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to start the pineapple on pizza chat. And because I know where I stand on it, you know where you stand on it, it's easy. It will fill this little awkward time. And here we go. Okay, I'm switching us to conversational autopilot. 3, 2, 1. Here we go.
And yeah, I'll have the chat as well. I'll probably enjoy the chat. But I'm thinking, fuck, how the hell did we get here? What, like, how did I grind them down to the pineapple and pizza chat? What have I done? I'm thinking I've failed here. So I mean, as well, in the rare event as well, they're actually, they'll see a pizza, react to it, and like they're actually genuinely passionate, or they genuinely care about that. I mean, fucking hell, just tell them to go and just go and have a long look at the sea. I mean, I don't believe anyone actually cares about pizza toppings, really. But yeah, I had tinned peaches on a pizza once in Germany. It was fine. Cool. But I mean, oh, there's so many like that. I get that with beard chat as well. That's a big one. Like, I know I've failed in a conversation if someone strikes up the generic beard chat. And if you've got a beard, no doubt you've heard this as well. I mean, I've kind of worn them down to a point where they've just sort of got to go, right, do you use beard oils or whatever? That's a nice beard. Do you trim it? Do you use scissors? I mean, by that point, I'm just like, fuck, I'm sorry, I failed you. I mean, it's well-meaning, isn't it? I mean, the conversational autopilot, the autopilot in general. Like, they're doing it as a favour to you, because you've been boring. So by striking up that conversation, filling the time, like, they're doing us both a favour. But that at that stage, I'm always thinking, like, shit, I've got to be better. I've got to get to the stage where people don't have to resort to these, just, I don't know, just off-the-shelf chats kind of thing. Be better. But, yeah. I'll probably upset a few people now. I do talk a lot about beards, so I... Yeah, but... I used to have a beard for a bit, but then... I bloody shaved it off, didn't I? So, I might, grow another one over the holidays, and, yeah, that'll be nice. Cool! It's, oh yeah! No, I said, a little while ago I was going to read Brave New World, and, yeah, thank you, Dambo, for the recommendation. And it turns out, I actually had it in my collection, like my little proper little book library, physical copy, and I'd started it a while back and then got distracted. And I mean, anyway, goes without saying, very, very good book. Like, the sort of, I don't know, like, it's they say it's the opposite to 1984 in a way. Like, it's sort of a look into, like, pure hedonism and what the world will be like if we pursued that. And I could have used it in my dissertation, actually. Like, it's one of the weirder sort of fiction future dystopian world looks. Like, it's got a lot of test tube babies and weird shit like that at the beginning, but stick through it. And yeah, by far out of all of those, I've read a few now, and I'd say this world, I mean, if we can't stay in our own and you have to go into one of them, you know, I'd say sign me up. Like, this is the best of them. And it's basically saying, like, for pure contentment, you know, no ups, no downs, would you give up, you know, because of that, you'd have to give up all proper science, all your religion, all your art, literature, everything, because they can't exist, or, I mean, they wouldn't be properly appreciated at all, wouldn't be understood, because, you know, nobody would sort of have the, like, the point of reference of what that is. You know, if it's like a picture of sadness or whatever, they're just like, well, we're just content, we don't know what that is. If it's happy, they wouldn't know what it is, sort of thing. So, yeah,
Like, and you know what? Like, if it has to be a binary in or out, yes or no, do you sign up to this world? I don't know. I think I would. If it was out of the choice of the others, or I don't know. I mean, you might say like, well, I'm not going to sign in because, you know, you don't appreciate the highs if you don't have the lows. And I mean, I get that, you know, that phrase sort of works in our context, present day. But this is saying, like, if you could, would you get rid of the emotional peaks and... Oh, God. Oh, okay, it was just this annoying little thing just came up, and it was like, are you enjoying this app? Oh, am I enjoying it? It's so annoying. Everything has to be... Oh, I don't know. I'm just using it. I don't have to be having a whale of a time. But anyway, like, oh, God, what was I saying? Yeah, it's like the John Stuart Mill thing. Like, better to be Socrates dissatisfied than a fool satisfied. Better to be a satisfied human than a... No, a dissatisfied human than a... It's better to be a dissatisfied human than a satisfied pig, or something like that. But I mean, it's the original humble brag, isn't it, that phrase? And like, it's basically just old John Boy going like, I guess I'm just too bloody clever to be happy at the end of the day. That's a shame. And well, of course, he's using that as a device to say that kind of philosophers are the best and he's the best, kind of self-aggrandizing. And probably to justify why he's such a grumpy old bastard as well. Like, my grumpiness is just such a small burden for, a bit of social unease. I mean, this is what you've got to pay for my brilliant mind, kind of thing. And, I mean, of course you'd want to be the satisfied pig, John. Of course you would, like, in a heartbeat, if you had the choice. And I think you're a fucking mug. finally Jack Tibble, finally on a podcast, someone smashes John Stuart Mill down a peg. So I don't know. Let's all calm down, right? Calm down, everyone, settle down. You know, we've all had a drink. You know, shake hands, let's leave it there, right? Let's leave it there, let's be gentlemen. Let's fucking leave it there, alright? Alright, we've all had fun, we've all had a nice night, let's fucking leave it there. Speaking of humble brags, actually, like, are we all aware of what humble brags are? I remember first hearing about them back on, it was Ellis James and John Robbins, back when it was Radio X, XFM probably, but Radio X always looks a bit like Radox when you're reading through. Like we're going through your podcasts or whatever. But a humble brag is just when you kind of, like, how did they describe it? They said it's when you boast about something, but you describe it as a moan. And their example was, the problem with being so beautiful is just people don't take me very seriously. I mean, you're going to see these all the time now, like, particularly on social media platforms. Like, a classic was a couple of years back, and, well, do you remember when Notre Dame Cathedral was on fire and people were just putting up pictures of themselves and they were looking nice in front of it, maybe getting proposed to or whatever? And they're just going like, oh, I can't believe that Notre Dame's burning down because it's my favourite place to spend summer and... yeah, it's such a travesty. P.S. I just want to remind you all that I have a great life. Thanks very much. And, actually, you might say that a good humble brag might be, a story about an annoying ringtone in beautiful South Africa. That's a good example. But, you know, I like to dabble, but just have a look. You're going to see them everywhere. The humble brag, welcome. Actually, also on the book front, I listened to the audiobook of The Midnight Library, or The Midnight Library. And yeah, that's one I definitely recommend. Like, it's sort of like you've had the story in kind of ways before, but it's a blend of kind of It's a Wonderful Life versus Sliding Doors, A Christmas Carol, like When Harry Met Sally, The Butterfly Effect, kind of Bridget Jones, Groundhog Day, Memento, a little bit. Like, a little bit like The Page Master, if you've seen that. Macaulay, my boy. It's very, very good. So, yeah, stick with it as well, because it does start out a bit bleak. But then there's kind of, like, it's got philosophy in it, you know, like Schrodinger, quantum physics, little sprinkle of that. Of course, you've got your heartwarming kind of thread. Perspective. Like, I truly liked it, so yeah, like, give that a listen, give that a little whirl. And I've got a trick as well. I'll say it from me to you, don't tell anybody. So if you've got an audiobook and you don't know the person's voice already, kind of trick your brain into recognizing a faster pace. Like, just put it on 1.1 times the speed, and well, condense your enjoyment, get more bang for your buck in the time, kind of thing. You can get a, like, if it's an 8-hour book, you can get it done in 7, kind of thing. And you know, more time for eating cake or whatever you like, double prizes. And yeah, I had, speaking of that, actually, I was putting Squid Game, like, all of the, you know, it's just dialogue where you got the subtitles or whatever. I was just putting that on 1.25, giving that a go. It's all about the games, isn't it? All about the game. So yeah, there's a little top tip there. So fast forward through the dialogue in Squid Game, because you can read it. But yeah, right, I think that'll do. I think, Poppets, this might be a long one. And actually, no, I do have an appeal. Like, so before I go, help me out, because I'm looking for a better name for the whole at the end of the dick, right? Because at the moment, I mean, like, some people are using a very out of date racial slur. I mean, I'm not going to say it, but I heard it used the other day. It's with a pal, and I mean, I was like, how the fuck is that still being said? So yeah, let's get rid of the old name for the dick hole, and we need a new slang for it. So, I mean, we had a little mind map, a little storming session, and I mean, the best we came up with was a cock nostril. I mean, is there anything better than that to get into common parlance? If you can think of one, get in touch. But I'm not interested in anything racist, and yeah, just use dick hole for the time being until we've got a good one. So, I mean, actually, like, just out of context, put your suggestions. I'll put a post on the at TidbitsPo Instagram, TidbitsPod43. I don't know what it will be yet, but under that, just out of context, yeah, just put in your alternative dickhole names. That would be nice. And yeah, have a little browse there for general chat ideas and stuff. You know what the show email is altogether, tidbitspod@protonmail.com. Get in touch there. And I will say for you now, thanks very much for listening. And yeah, spread the word. Maybe, actually, when you do, say something to them like, yes, yeah, stick with it for a few episodes. It gets slightly better. Something like that. Or, you know, it's still a work in progress, but I think they're getting better than last year. But, you know, give him a try. He's all right. Something like that, you know, that'll be fucking swell. And then imagine, like, when this actually gets good, like when we get to a premium, a high quality mark, you can say that you've been in it. Oh, I've been listening to him for ages. You know, you could be that guy or gal or whatever. But yeah, okay, I'm out, guys. Hasta luego, muchachos. Catch you later. I will survive. Yeah, as long as I don't have love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live, and I've got all my love to give. I will survive. I will survive. Yuck.